Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We're dealing with the biblical subject of love, but of course that's just on our way to the biblical subject of joy. But love is one of the three things that Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that contribute to our joy. When we are loving the way that God's Word tells us to love, it will cultivate joy within our souls. That really shouldn't be very surprising, but it is very important. The other two elements are faith and hope. And so faith, hope, and love, says Peter, the same three that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. And when these are being exercised in our lives, then joy is one of the results. A joy unspeakable or inexpressible and full of glory. So we want to get back to the subject of love so that we can learn more about how to cultivate joy. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, February 12, and thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. We're reading about it in 1 Peter 1:8. Speaking of Jesus Christ, that's the last part of verse 7, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then verse 8, whom, having not seen, you love. Though you have not seen him, you love him. That would seem to be very strange to those who don't know the Lord and don't know God's Word. Almost impossible, certainly paradoxical. How is it possible to love someone you have not seen? But of course, that's the spiritual dimension. It would be impossible, except we're talking about the work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of God's people. And God's people love Jesus Christ because they have experienced his love in their souls, and they have been joined to him by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, and they have learned to know him through the Word of God and through prayer. He is very real, even though they have not seen him, but they love him. And this exercise of love is what leads on further in the verse to joy. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So back now to the exercise of love. And I have told you that there are at least four elements of this biblical love, and the first one is the volitional element, and that's the one I've emphasized most strongly because that one is so contrary to human thinking and so contrary to our culture. To tell somebody that love is a choice, love is a decision, love is a commitment that you act upon regardless of how you feel, sounds like you are talking gibberish to most people. But that's exactly what the Bible indicates, that biblical love is volitional first, the emotions will follow. It is continual, it is a regular ongoing activity in the lives of God's children. It is thirdly practical because it basically boils down to keeping Christ's commandments. That's really what it is. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, or if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And John in 1 John tells us that that's how we know that we love him, if we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, John goes on to say, not burdensome. If people find the commandments of God to be a great weight, a great burden. What does that say? Well, among other things, that says that they have not yet been converted. Because for those who come to Jesus Christ, they will find, as Jesus said, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His commandments are not burdensome to his children. They are only burdensome to those who are still unregenerate. Now, when I say they are not burdensome to God's children, I'm not saying that we never struggle with them, but we don't find them distasteful. We don't find them impossible. We don't have a hatred toward them. All the contrary to all of that. We delight in them. We agree that they are right and beautiful and desirable. And we just simply look to the Lord for the help and strength to obey them because we have that desire, that Holy Spirit wrought desire to do exactly that. And that is the practical side of love. When we keep his commandments, we are loving Christ. And when we love Christ, we will keep his commandments. The two go together inseparably. And the Bible tells us, if you don't keep the commandments of Christ, how can you say that you have the love of God in you? How can you say that? How can you think that? How can you deceive yourself into thinking that you are a child of God if you hate your brother and if you find the other commandments of God to be distasteful? Why, that's impossible. You don't understand the nature of the new birth. You don't understand regeneration. You don't understand the new heart, the new desires, the work of grace that goes on in the souls of all of God's children. We tend to view all these things as entirely optional, as if it's our choice. God saves us, and we're going to heaven, and then we decide whether or not we want to love Christ or not. We decide whether or not we want to keep his commandments or not. We decide whether or not we're going to love the brethren or not. It would be better to do all these things, but if we don't, we'll of course lose rewards, but it does not affect our salvation. Well, that is an entirely erroneous view of what salvation is. Salvation is a powerful, life-changing work of the Spirit of God within our soul. It's not just simply our making a decision, it is the Holy Spirit changing our whole being. He implants within us a new nature, a new heart, new desires, and they are there, and they are not just given to us, and then, well, you can enjoy these and exercise them and benefit from them if you choose to. Oh no, they are a powerful force within us that is continuing to change us. They are guiding our lives. They are changing our direction. They are affecting our emotions. They are changing our desires. All of that is going on, and that's how it can be said that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, that is the way we love him. And if we don't keep his commandments, it's because we don't love him and it's because we don't know him. This love is very practical. It's not ethereal. It's not some mystical thing that we can dream about, but we really can't define or describe. It's true that there are elements of it that go beyond human description, but in the main, it is just plain old meat and potatoes, practical Christian living, which is the pursuit of every true child of God. So, love is number one, volitional, number two, continual, number three, practical, and number four, reassuring. When we desire to obey the Lord out of love, we know that our faith is genuine. When we find obeying his commandments to be a burdensome, difficult duty, distasteful duty, then that is a signal that we need a new heart. No matter what we have professed, the evidence is that our heart has not been changed, and therefore we need to go to Christ. Acknowledge our need. It's the hardest thing in the world to get a sinner to acknowledge his need. Even, quote, Christian sinners, end quote. And by that I mean people who have made a profession of faith and consider themselves to be Christians but have never been regenerated. They're as hard as the hard-hearted, hard-blatant, living in a blatant sin sinner. In fact, maybe harder in some cases. The self-righteousness of the Pharisee is harder to break than the obvious sin of the gambler, the prostitute, the murderer, the blasphemer. People like that, though they can be very hardened in their sin, usually know and acknowledge their sin. They may or may not be convicted about it. That, of course, depends upon the work of the Spirit of God. They may defend it rather than reject it. In fact, they won't reject it. They won't find it distasteful and something they'd like to be rid of unless they are the object of the work of God's Spirit in their heart. But usually, those kind of sinners will at least acknowledge that they are sinners. They may shrug it off. They may brag about it. They may consider it to be no big deal. They may justify it because of circumstances in their lives and because other people are just as bad or worse and so forth and so on. But usually they'll say, I'm a sinner. I know it. But oh, those deceived, professing Christians who've never been born again, they're the hardest ones in the world to get to understand their lost condition. They cling to their profession of faith against all evidence to the contrary. You show them the evidence of the Word of God that those who are God's children have lives that are changed and their lives operate in this way. No two children of God are exactly alike, but there are certain things that the Bible tells us that are true of all of God's children. The lives of God's children operate in this way. And specifically, what we're dealing with now is they operate out of love for Christ, which means practically a desire to keep His commandments. And when we desire to obey Him out of love, we know that our faith is genuine. When we don't, we should know that our faith is not genuine, that we have a counterfeit profession rather than a real regeneration. That's what we ought to know, but how difficult it is to get people to acknowledge that. And furthermore, when we know that we love Him because of the biblical evidence that tells us so, then we are assured of His love for us. And isn't that precious? Because the Bible is clear that His love preceded ours. We love Him, why? Because He first loved us. So if we love Him, what is true? He loves us. He loved us first. Therefore, we can be assured of His love for us. Now, that takes us into another subject that I don't have time for today. But the mushy ideas about love that people have would never question Christ's love for everybody equally. But that's not what the Bible teaches. There is a particular, special love for the people of God. And how do we know that we are the objects of that love? When we love Him, then we know it's because He first loved us. It's a wonderful assurance. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.